Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 5, 2014. It is the ninth day of the fourth lunar month, 2018. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, It Is No Secret. The charms of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell, was that someone you? You may have longed for better strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what Yah can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. His arms are open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what Yah can do. There is no night for Him, His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you, while Yah is on your side. Just take Him and His promise, don't run away and hide. It is no secret what Yah can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what Yah can do. Part 6, Mount Zion 11th Hour. We're going to continue our study. First, we're going to defer to a prayer thought taken from Psalms chapter 34. I will bless the Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Yahweh, for the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Yahweh with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Yahweh, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto me, and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Yahweh heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of Yahweh encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O Cain, see that the Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. O fear the Yahweh, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Yahweh shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Yahweh. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Yahweh are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of Yahweh is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Yahweh heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Yahweh is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Verily, the Yahweh delivereth them out of all of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Yahweh redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Okay, so we are delighted to learn that the angel of Yahweh encampeth round about them that fear him. In other words, if you fear Yahweh, and keep his commandments, that's the whole duty of man. That's in Ecclesiastes, I believe, 13. Or 12, whatever, 13 and 14, says, so the angel of the Yahweh, encamps round about them that fear him. Okay, so it says, this verse 17, it says, the righteous cry, and the Yahweh heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. So, the wicked, though, they're not delivered out of anything. They stay in trouble all the time. Not only with Yahweh, but also with the authorities of man here on earth. They stand in trouble on both sides. Okay, that ends our prayer thought. Let us go now right on into our main study. We're on page 102 of Mount Zion after the 11th hour. What are we learning? Well, we are learning new things as we read and reread these studies. That's what it's all about. That's what inspiration is all about. It gives you deeper understanding of the deeper things that you didn't get the first time around, or the second time, or the last time around. It says, let's do a little review. Let us then follow in the footsteps of these great men of Elohim, trusting his immutable word. I should be trusting in his immutable word, and acting upon it without the slightest hesitation. Follow not in the way of those who doubted, questioned, and criticized, and who, in the fatal consequence, never arrived at the knowledge of the truth. Of such who lived at the time of the early Advent movement, church history says, multitudes trusting implicitly unto their pastors, refused to listen unto the warning, and others, though convinced of the truth, dared not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For the great obstacle both to the acceptance and to the promulgation of the truth is the fact that it involves inconvenience and reproach. This is the only argument against the truth which the its advocates have never been able to refute, but this does not deter the true followers of the Yahshua. They do not wait for the truth to become popular. Being convinced of their own duty, they deliberately accept the cross. But the Apostle Paul, counting that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of the glory, with one of the old, esteeming the reproach of Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For the great, that's in the Great Controversy 380 and 460. Both the Moabites and the Ammonites being the descendants of Lot, and Lot being one with the Abraham, also the Edomites being the descendants of Esau, Jacob's twin brother, to all of whom Elohim declared, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. Genesis 15:13-16. They should therefore have known that the time had come for the fulfillment of that long-expected event, and should accordingly have been ready for it, or had they lost sight of the truth, then they should have recalled it when they saw the movement that was now at their very borders. Had they believed in the Abraham's Elohim as Lot believed, they would not have refused to let the children of Israel, their relatives, pass through their country to the promised land. but rather would have joined with them as Lot joined with Abraham to help them possess it. Indeed, the Moabites went so far in their hostility toward their relatives that they even hired Balaam to curse them, in spite of the fact that Elohim is putting the Israelites in the mind of his promise. Lot commanded them that they harm not their brethren, Judges 11:16-18. Thus, in the declining to welcome them and to grant them safe conduct through the land, the Moabites not only refused to acknowledge Elohim's wondrous providence, but also rejected him in the person of his people, whom they well knew he had led with the signs and wonders out of the land of the Egypt. May this tragic lesson penetrate into the innermost hearts of all today and cause them to acknowledge Elohim's mighty power in the fulfilling of the prophecy. Shall not the Christians avoid the mistakes and blunders of the past, and without the hesitating join Elohim's people on their onward march toward the antitypical promised land? Or will any in this enlightened age stubbornly disregard the word of Elohim and oppose his people, as did the Moabites and the Ammonites, who consequently lost both their kingdom and eternal life? Well, could it be that we've had these sure Ammonites and the Moabites abiding in our camp all these years and didn't know it? Something's been wrong. They always finally came to camp down, and he said he's going to thoroughly purge your floor. Said it would be seen that if the fan is in his hand, he's going to thoroughly purge your floor. Oh, what a catastrophe after having thus been enlightened by the word of the truth to hear spoken against oneself the same dreadful sentence which excluded the Moabites and the Ammonites from the congregation of Yahweh. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh. Even unto their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Yahweh forever, because they met ye not with the bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Deuteronomy 23:3-4. Okay, I have some new impressions here about what I just read. 2003, when we left out of Kermit, he brought us out of spiritual bondage of sin in Egypt. In the spiritual Egypt, he delivered us, the house of David, from the spiritual bondage of sin in Egypt. In the antithetical spiritual Egypt. In the wilderness. That's why we were sent to the wilderness to spend that period of time of 33 years at Gilead Center. That was in the wilderness of sin in the Anatot. That was in the spiritual bondage of Egypt. Closing out the last period and the last feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, closing out the sixth seal in the spiritual bondage. So the first six seals of the seven, of the book of seven seals, the first six seals are for the judgment of the dead, and it's for the period of time when the spiritual Israel, the descendants of those ancient Israel that came out of Egypt with Moses, those that made that first covenant with Yahweh made with them, they said all that Yahweh said we will do, and they apostatized from that. And they have apostatized, cleared down to 2002. So there you have it. We were in spiritual Egypt. We have been in the spiritual bondage of Egypt ever since our forefathers broke that covenant that they made at Sinai. And Moses went up into the mountain, and he came down, and he spoke the words of Yahweh and gave the law. And they said, all that Yahweh has said we will do, and they broke that covenant. They have been in condemnation ever since, and all the descendants that have not come back and restored the sanctuary system to walk in the light of the sanctuary system remain as descendants of that rebellious group, those are the forefathers that died in the wilderness, that didn't even get to enter into the promised land at the end of their first 40 years. So there you have it. He delivered the 144,000 by the bookwork of Ezekiel 9, delivered them out of spiritual Egypt. But first he had to deliver the wave sheaf offering, the house of David, Elijah, David, and two people with him. And we were delivered, and we were brought into another land. Well, it says, for the Moabites hiring of the Balaam calls attention unto the fact that in the Anatot, those who should be welcoming and blessing Elohim's people were instead with the promises of money and fame behind false-hearted servants to curse them. But we are comforted by the truth in the type that which Elohim has blessed, no man can curse. Okay. So, the last cursing that I had my first cursing from Verla Stevie Johnson. And now I've had my second cursing from Alan DeLong. And he hasn't been back on this property since he cursed me that Sabbath day. Yeah, he was here. Last night he was here. This will be the fourth Sabbath day that he has missed now since he put a curse on me. And so you can read it and weep, brother, because you're following right in the footsteps of the very one that you had been defending, the one that destroyed the Gilead Center, and the one that was trying to destroy your soul, and yet you're defending that person and calling him a publisher of the truth and me a hypocrite, reversing the exact role of what the scriptures actually point out as the truth of the matter. So there you have it, folks. I'm telling this and putting it on record for the admonition of all of the people that are hand to come from around the world here in this 12th hour. And this is especially for our people in Africa. You're going to learn that here at the headquarters, we don't hide nothing. We preach the truth, and we acknowledge the truth as it happens. And if one of ours fall away, we let you know exactly who and why and where and when that were the reason for it. This thing is bigger than all of us. So let us continue on now. We're on page 105. It says, I am astonished, says the Yahshua's servant, that with the examples before us and what man may be and what he may do, we are not stimulated unto greater exertion to emulate the good works of the righteous. All may not occupy a position of the promise, yet all may fill positions of usefulness and trust, and may, by their persevering fidelity, do far more good than they have any idea that they can do. Those who embrace the truth should seek a pure understanding of the scriptures and an experimental knowledge of a living Savior. For the intellect should be cultivated, the memory taxed, all intellectual laziness is sin, and spiritual lethargy is death. Testimony, Volume 4, page 399. When you can pass out of one era, out of the seventh dimension, or dimension, and your light has completely gone out because you used up all the oil that was allocated for that time period, and you accept the new oil, and that's what keeps your lamp burning and brings you into the eighth dimension, which we're in now, the house of David. And then you come along the journey a little ways with that, and all of a sudden you say, this is not right. This light is not a true light. I want to go back to that old light that I had. I want that old oil that our predecessor, Brother Johnson, was using and teaching. And so when you say, that's the true light, he publishes truth. But now, what I'm following now, even though I've got my lamp burning with this new oil that I've been following for the last 12 years, and 11 or 12 years, Alan can say that. I've been using this oil for the eighth dimension, this new oil, and all of a sudden I don't believe in it no more. So what does that tell you? That means that his light has gone out, or it's flickering very dimly. Yeah, he thinks he's walking the full light. And when you can say, I'm walking in the light of my predecessor, the one that published in the seventh dimension, Brother Jonathan, I'm walking and still walking in his light, and I'm teaching his light, but your light I don't understand. So what does that tell you? Okay, that tells you the same thing as it tells me about Judas Iscariot. He walked in that light for 3.5 years with the disciples. Yeshua even blessed Judas by telling him, you can have the gift of healing, you can have the gift of even raising the dead. And I'm going to give you that as a free gift, and you have that at your disposal now. Now, one condition, though, you have to become 100% righteous in order to use these gifts and they to be effective. Otherwise, they're no good to you. So that was the one condition that they had to do, was to become 100% righteous, and then those gifts of the Spirit then would be manifested through miracles and so forth. Okay? Those who wait for the minister to accept the message before they themselves act upon their conviction will never come to the knowledge of the truth, says the Spirit of the prophecy. As the light and life of man was rejected by the ecclesiastical authorities in the days of Yahshua, so it has been rejected in every succeeding generation. Again and again, the history of Yahshua's withdrawal from the Judea has been repeated when the reformers preached the word of the Elohim. They had no thought of separating themselves from the established Catholic Church. But the religious leaders would not tolerate the light, and those that bore it were forced to seek another class who were longing for the truth. In our day, few of the professed followers of the reformers are actuated by their spirit. Few are listening for the voice of the Elohim and ready to accept truth in whatever guise it may be presented. Often those who follow in the steps of the reformers are forced to turn away from the churches they love in order to declare the plain teachings of the word of the Yahweh, and many times those who are seeking for the light are by the same teaching obliged to leave the church of their fathers that they may render obedience. This is out of Ages, page 232 and paragraph 2. In those days and in that time, saith the Yahweh, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. Okay, so the children of Israel are your 10 tribes, 70 of them. They have joined the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Now they make up the 144,000. That's what it's talking about. These are the ones that's going to come. In those days and in that time, saith the Yahshua, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together are going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Yahweh their Elohim, or the Yahshua their Savior. They shall ask the way unto Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves unto the Yahshua in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. So it says that the forefathers forgot that first covenant, and apostatized against it, and their descendants clear down to the Adventists, clear down to Gilead Center up to 2002. But these new ones, the House of David in the 8th movement, the 8th dominion, the 8th dimension, okay, it says they join themselves to Yeshua in a perpetual covenant. Now that word perpetual is also a synonym with daily, meaning daily, every day at the divine appointment for the daily at the 3rd hour and the 9th hour, you have this perpetual covenant in operation and the daily service that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them and their adversaries. We offend not because they have sinned against the Yahweh, the habitation of the justice, even the Yahshua, the hope of their father. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats, leaders, before the flocks, Jeremiah 50, verse 48. For the time has come for a thorough reformation to take place. When this reformation begins, the spirit of prayer will actuate every believer. It will banish from the church the spirit of discord and strife. Those who have not been living in the Christian fellowship will draw close unto one another. One member working in the right line will lead other members to unite with him in the making intercession for the revelation of the Holy Spirit. There will be no confusion because all will be in harmony with the mind of the Spirit. For the barriers of separating believer from believer will be broken down, and Elohim's servants will speak the right thing. The Yahweh will cooperate with his servants. All will pray understandingly the prayer that the Yahshua taught his servant. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. For the Yahweh said unto my Yahshua, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. For the Yahweh shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of the holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Yahshua at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Psalms 110, verse 1 to 7. Remember Lot's wife, escape for thy life. Thus towers forth the structure of the truth, sending forth the message that the kingdom is to be restored by the antipodal prophet Elijah. Okay, just before the close of the probation, but that the earth being unfit for the saints to dwell on it eternally, Yahshua shall therefore come again and receive all the redeemed, both those who are raised from their graves and those who shall be found alive at his coming, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, and shall take them unto the mansions above which he has gone to prepare, John 14:3. Then as the saints of sin and the wicked die, the earth will be left empty and dark, Jeremiah 4:23-29. For a thousand years, Revelation 20, verse 3, after which the Yahshua shall descend with the saints, Revelation 21:1-3, purify the earth with the fire, 2 Peter 3:10-13, and fit it anew for the saints, the eternal abode, Isaiah 45:18. Now, therefore, let your faith in the word renew your love in the truth and in the promise of the future glory. O sing unto Yahweh a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Yahweh hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Elohim. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto him the Yahshua with the harp. Sing unto the Yahshua with the harp, with the harp and the voice of a song, with the trumpets and sound of the cornet. make a joyful noise before the Yahshua the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful before together before the Yahweh. For he cometh to judge the earth. With the righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with the equity. Psalms 98:1-9. Oh, what sayings of the future glory! Who would miss them? Remember, sister, I says, brother, sister, you must be there. Whatever you lose here, be determined to make sure of a home there. It will be an eternity of the bliss, a blessed eternity, unfolding new glories throughout the ceaseless ages. Testimonies, volume 8, page 131. Behold the crystal river and the green fields, the waving trees and living fountains, the shining city and the white-robed singers of our heavenly home, that world of beauty which no artist can picture, no mortal tongue describe, I have not seen nor ear heard, now that have entered into the heart of the man, the things which Elohim has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. To dwell forever in this home of the blessed, to bear in the soul, body, and spirit, not the dark traces of the sin and the crime, but the perfect likeness of our Creator, and through ceaseless ages to advance in the wisdom, in the knowledge, and in the holiness, ever exploring new fields of the thought, ever finding new wonders and new glories, ever increasing in the capacity to know and to enjoy and to love, and knowing that there is still beyond us joy and love and wisdom infinite. Such is the object to which the Christian hope is pointing. Counsel of the Teachers, page 55 by Ellen G. White. Well, that brings the end of our study on Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Okay, let us continue now our study with the letters pertaining to Jezreel. There's 9 letters. We're going to start with letter 1. Jezreel, Betihalef is the player representing Jezreel in his day. Jezreel is the oldest sibling of Hosea. And Hosea had 2 more children named Ami and Ruama. And he addressed himself, Jezreel, as a master prophet, and that pleased his mother, the church, the Jewish church. Now, Jezreel translates today in the 12th hour because his letters become present truth today. So he would be then identified as the antitypical Elijah, the master prophet. That's interpret all things. That's what Betihalef pinned him as, the master prophet. That's going to interpret all the prophecies for the Advent Church. So now as we move forward, let's look at Jezreel letter number 1. Dear fellow believer in the third angel's message, since this is a very timely opportunity for the penning of a few friendly lines unto you, and since there is no sweeter message than that which comes from the Elohim, I have chosen to greet you with it. Heaven's voice unto Laodicea, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, inspiration declares, is of the supreme consequence for every Laodicean, and to all of us Seventh-day Adventists. Now, Betihalef has included him as one of their members. All of us Seventh-day Adventists. And yet, at this time, he's identified as a Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, and he's the prophet, the head of it, and he's going by the title of Jezreel. Okay. And so he's been identified today as the antitypical Moses, the last 40 years of Moses' life. Okay, so now Vityalpa is identifying himself in this Jezreel's number one letter as one of the Seventh-day Adventists. So Jezreel, then, is a member of the Adventist Church. Okay, and the duty of every one of us is to heed it is no less supreme if we are to be spared from being spewed out, Revelation 3:16. So now, he's saying that he's a member of the Let Us In Church. Vicky Hall said, I'm a member, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, so it makes me a Let Us In also. And he said, we have to heed this message together, of Jezreel's message together, if we are to be spared from being spewed out of his mouth. Well, in Revelation 3:16, he says, Yahshua is speaking himself. And he's saying that unto the angel of Laodicea. The angel is one in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, meaning that he is a prophet in charge of the office of inspiration for Laodicea. So, but Vityalpa is saying, we as Adventists have got to heed this message of Jezreel, or so we can be spared of being spewed out. Well, the angel is spewed out first. The salvation is offered unto the laity if they want to heed the voice of inspiration from the new messenger that has brought them the message. And if they will heed his voice and accept his message, then they won't have to be spewed out. But he's contending with the leadership, the angel of Laodicea, to accept the message. Okay? So now, in this case, Vityalpa, as being antitypical Jezreel, playing that position, is also the antitypical angel of Laodicea. So that's the reason why he used that expression, be spared from being spewed out. Okay? Because he says he only spews the angel of Laodicea out. And if those of the laity chooses to stay with him, then they go down with him. But they get the option of accepting the new oil and the new truth from a new messenger, and they can move on out of that prison cell that they've been held in by this angel of Laodicea, of the candlestick of Laodicea. Okay? Now, with this weighty fact inescapably in view, what grave responsibility is upon the one whom the Elohim is charged with taking heaven's message unto his people in Laodicea? Consequently, what unforgiving sin would be his should he neglect to seek out every possible avenue for the carrying of the message unto every home that would open his door? What carefulness, therefore, must he exercise to seek every possible opportunity to give all possible assistance unto every soul in the steering of a straight and steady course clear and to the Canaan's land. Hence this urgent effort in your behalf. For some time now, you have had the 11th hour publications, tracts, and timely greetings, postmarked Waco, including a copy of the 1950 General Conference Special, and the White House Recruiter. Now, he's got one mistake here. He says, for some time now, you have had the 11th hour publication. No. They had the 10th hour publication. Richie Oliver was in the 10th hour when he was publishing all of this. The Shepherd Rod message was published in the 10th parabolic hour. The whole three volumes. All of it. Okay. And at the time that it was supposed to do its work, was in the 11th hour. That's what it was. That was it, what it was designated for, the angel of the candlestick, that he was about to pass his title as angel of the candlestick onto his successor, Verlis W. Johnson, in 1970. That's commanding the 11th hour. So he says, for some time now you have had the 11th hour publications, tracts and timely greetings, postmarked record, including a copy of the 1950 General Conference Special and the White House Recruiter, all bearing the light of Elham so dearly needed at this climatic hour of the time the long-expected message of the sealing of the 144,000, the purification of the church, the judgment of the living in the house of the Elohim, the message to the lead of sin, the loud cry, and kindred events. I am confident, therefore, that in your desire to be a wide-awake, Elohim-fearing Adventist, you cannot in the very nature of the case fail of being impressed and stirred by the tremendous truth which these publications bear for this time. And when you consider the wide and sober reception accorded unto the White House recruiter as it entered thousands upon thousands of Adventist homes the world over, surely you cannot help but be still the more impressed. Indeed, never has any other truth-laden publication to enter Adventist homes been so widely and so soberly received. And incident to this singularly responsive reception is a significant fact, which may well be all-important unto you, that many of those who, for the very good reasons, are not yet openly declaring their stand are already requesting us to make it possible for them privately to take the course which the recruiter announces. I am therefore gratified to announce herewith that it is my happy lot to deploy the entire 11th hour staff to answer in the person all such requests. Okay. Thus, when one of us is in your vicinity, you will have golden opportunity to have him personally, privately, and in strict confidence open up unto you the message in connection with the all consequential events so soon to take place in our midst. Events which inspiration now for the first time brings into the noonday light right before our eyes, and which the prophets forecast in the following words: Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeared, for he is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Malachi 3:1-2. Now, do you understand when V.T. Hollis died in 1955, while all of his followers scattered all over the world because he put false hope in their hearts that they were in the 11th and the last hour, and that all these messages is pointing to the fulfillment of them, and it's going to fulfill with the Davidians, and they all place their hopes in it. But here the man dies. Well, their hope perished also. Okay. For the days of the purification of the church were hastening on apace. Elohim will have a people pure and true. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimony Volume 5, page 80. For by fire and by his sword will the Yahshua plead with all flesh, and the stain of the Yahshua shall be many. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape them unto the nations, unto the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, unto my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yahweh. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 6:16-19-20. Because the purification is now the church's only hope, the devil is doing all in his power through the medium of the idolized men, apparently no less pious than the priest who crucified the Yahshua, to suppress knowledge of it and to create fear, prejudice, hatred, and confusion against the voice of the Elohim, and to blacken the character of his agency. Moreover, the enemy's exalted zealots so well satisfied they have need of the nothing already in spite of the heaven's command, and to the contrary, casting out of the churches anyone who investigates Elohim's message unto the latest sins, or who conforms unto it. What has the denomination degenerated into? What exceeding folly, too, for it to assume the dictate to its members whose writings they should read and whose they should not read, as if they had neither mind nor conscience of their own, and as if Elohim either could or would not convict them through their own intellect, but must depend on the intellect of the ministers, who by such folly are unconsciously assuming to take Elohim's place, their very act of not only discouraging, but even publishing the reading of the publications is in itself a strong evidence that the publications contain the truth for this time, and that the enemy wants Elohim's people to be ignorant of it. One can scarcely conceive of any other design so well calculated to make of the Elohim's people mental and spiritual invalids, and in the consequence to keep them in the submissive ignorance of the fact that the pain or the plan of the salvation demands that they be enlightened Christians, able to see with their own eyes and to know with their own hearts what is what and who is who. Both high and low seem to forget that no sinner is the messages of Elohim appeared in their respective time. Judaism, Romanism, and Protestantism all unwittingly fell prey unto this foolish scheme. For their failure to bind forever in the darkness the free-minded in their day, though, should now be an eye-opener unto us all that our hostile brethren too will fail to bind the darkness forever the free-minded of this day. For the free-minded sooner or later discover that anyone who cannot for himself decide what is the truth and what is error is destitute of the spirit of the Elohim, having no contact with the heaven and having no part in it. Those who have not yet discovered this inviolable law stand face to face with the stark reality that it is high time that they discover it immediately, and that they fully realize that in the violating it, they are only making absolutely certain of the missing eternity, and that even though Noah, Daniel, and Job be their neighbors and they hold tight to all three of them, yet unless they stop breaking this inviolable law, they are doomed. They are damned. Then too, all who with the closed eyes and heart condemn the work of others are blind to the disastrous fact that he that answers the matter before he hears it directly from his source, it is folly and shame unto him. Proverbs 18:13. In the face of these certainties, certainly you cannot afford to turn a deaf ear unto the voice herein pleading that everyone make a thorough investigation of the contents in these 11th hour publications, which is profuse quantities, are now being freely, without money and without price, circulated throughout Laodicea. These publications, you know, unseal the scriptures. Okay, which constitutes this additional message. See early writing, page 277. All of which have hitherto been sealed and thus enveloped in the mystery and surrounded by the question marks, a fact which in itself is absolute proof that never before have more timely, more important publications entered Adventist homes. Perhaps you are fully aware of this. Should you, however, have questions which you would like to discuss in the private, you need only request that one of us visit you while we are laboring in your vicinity. Also, if you know of other open-minded, free-thinking, truth-seeking brethren, I shall appreciate your mentioning how many, and if they wish, you may send in their names and addresses either for our mailing list or for a private interview or for both. You may address me as V.H. Jezreel, H.V. Okay, Mount Carmel Center, Waco, Texas. That is, Beach House is known right. Saying, I am this Jezreel. Okay. But he would never come out and say, I am Elijah. He lets you assume the way he wrote his message that you would recognize that he is claiming this Elijah. But he does say he's this Jezreel. But by saying that, he's just simply saying that he's a master prophet. And that, I have that in writing also. In some literature. Every relevant scripture consideration dictates that there is only one safe, sane, and honorable course for any of us to pursue. When the prophetic revelation challenges consideration, especially at this most crucial hour in the history, we must shun, as we would death, the spirit which controlled the Jews and the nominal churches, all of whom, as a result, rejected the heaven-sent messages in their respective times. Well, that included Russ W. Johnson. It says right here, in his own words, says we must shun, as we would death, the spirit which controls the Jews and the nominal churches, all of whom, as a result, rejected the heaven-sent messages in their respective times. Russ Johnson rejected the heaven-sent message. The most important message that Yahweh sent in 158 years to the Adventist Church, the most important message was the one that I delivered to Brother Johnson July 14, 2002. Of all those, that was the most important. Because if he had adhered to that message, believed it, and did what he was told to do, he could have saved the Adventist Church. I mean, if there was an instrument for saving the Adventist Church, that was the instrument. But because he betrayed his trust, put in charge of the candlestick with the office of inspiration and with the title of a prophet, the decision he makes either saves the church or it dooms the church. He made the wrong decision, it doomed the church, and so he fell in this category where V.T. Hollis said, we must shun, as we would death, the spirit which controlled the Jews and the nominal churches. We must shun that. All of whom, as a result, rejected the heaven-sent message in the respective towns, including Brother W. Johnson, including Ben Roden. Okay. Our only salvation is to determine for ourselves at first hand, free from the influence of the others, the certainty and authenticity of the voice that is now crying aloud throughout Laodicea. Because a mind that depends upon the judgment of others is certain sooner or later to be misled. Education, page 231. Only the spirit of the Elohim working through our individual minds can lead us into all the truth if we give ear unto all the truth. For the spirit of prophecy further warns, there is yet much precious truth to be revealed unto the people in this time of the peril and darkness. But it is Satan's determined purpose to prevent the light of the truth from shining into the hearts of men. If we would have the light that has been provided for us, we should show our desire for it by diligently searching the word of the Elohim, precious truth that has long been in the obscurity, or to be revealed in a light that will make manifest their sacred worth. For the Elohim will glorify his word, that it may appear in a light in which we have never before beheld it. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 25. That's what happened at Kermit. Yahweh revealed a light that had never before appeared that way. And sure enough, it was counted a false light and a false prophet delivering, and a making up a lie to deliver it. And so that's the way Brother Johnson, the angel of the seventh candlestick, led us here. That's the way he handled the heaven saving truth for the whole church. That's the way he handled it. And that's what caused him to perish along with those that stayed with him. And the rest is history. There is no excuse for anyone in taking the position that there is no more truth to be revealed, and that all our expositions of the scriptures are without an error, for the fact that certain doctrines have been held as the truth for many years by our people is not a proof that our ideas are infallible. Age will not make error into the truth, and truth can afford to be fair. No true doctrine will lose anything by the close investigation. Counsels to Writers and Editors, page 35. Okay, that goes for the latest, Alan DeLong and Sharon. They just love Brother Johnson's writing, so they can understand them, and Brother Johnson published the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and my message, they don't understand it. So it's confusing to them. All right. Precious light is to shine forth from the word of Elohim, and let no one presume to dictate what shall or what shall not be brought before the people in the messages of the enlightenment that he shall send, and so quench the spirit of Elohim. Whatever may be his position of the authority, no one has the right to shut away the light from the people. Council on Sabbath School Work, page 28. If a message comes that you do not understand, take pains that you may hear the reasons that the messenger may give, comparing scripture with scripture, that you may know whether or not it is sustained by the word of the Elohim. If you believe that the positions taken have not the word of the Elohim for their foundation, if the position you hold on the subject cannot be controverted, then produce your strong reasons, for your position will not be shaken by the coming into contact with error. There is no virtue or manliness and keeping up a continual warfare in the dark, closing your eyes lest you may see, closing your ears lest you may hear, hardening your heart in the ignorance and unbelief, lest you may have to humble yourself and acknowledge that you have received light on some points of the truth. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 29. When asked to hear the reasons of a doctrine that you do not understand, do not condemn the message until you have given it a thorough investigation and know from the word of Yahweh that it is not tenable. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 31 and 32. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in. If you'll take one step for the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll abide. Time after time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He come.